This morning is taken from Daniel and chapter 3. Daniel and chapter 3. We'll just read selected parts because it is quite long. King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold, 60 cubits high and 6 cubits wide, and set it up on the plain of Jura in the province of Babylon. He then summoned the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other provincial officials to come to the dedication of the image he had set up. So the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other provincial officials assembled for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up, and they stood before it. Then the herald loudly proclaimed, "Nations and people of every language, this is what you are commanded to do. As soon as you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, you must fall down and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace." Verse 12. Some of the people come along to the king and they say, "There are some Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to your majesty. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold you have set up." Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king. And Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up? When you hear the sound of all these instruments, why don't you fall down and worship the image I made? If you do not worship it, you will be thrown into a blazing furnace. Then what god will be able to rescue you from my hand?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, "King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the fiery furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up." And so the three men are thrown into the fiery furnace. And the king goes to find out what is happening, and they are set free without a hair on their bodies singed. Their robes weren't scorched. They didn't smell a fire. And in the fire with them was a fourth man. The book of Daniel tells us about the fact that the children of Israel had been taken into exile in Babylon. Daniel and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were taken along to Babylon when they were just young men, probably young teenagers, maybe about 16, 17, 18 years of age. And none of them were to ever see their country again. I suppose they hoped that one day they might go back, but they all died, as far as we're aware, still in captivity. All four of these young men were very fine specimens of the sort. They were very good looking, they were very intelligent, and they were fully trained to do all sorts of things in the king's court. They refused right at the beginning, along with Daniel, to eat the king's meat because it was probably offered to idols. And they said, "We can't eat that." And if you remember the story, perhaps some of you, they ate vegetables and drank water to prove that they could do just as well without eating this rich food that had been offered to idols. And we're told in chapter 2 that these four young men excelled in everything that they did. If they had exams, they came top. If they wanted somebody to do something, they were the four men to ask. And they rose very quickly in the society that they were in. But we also read that they were men of prayer. In chapter 2, when the king has a dream that nobody can interpret, Daniel and these three meet to pray. So they're good looking, they're intelligent, they're doing well. But they're in a foreign country, in captivity. They're men of prayer. And then one day, King Nebuchadnezzar decides, for whatever reason, a bit of pride I suppose, that he's going to put up this statue in the middle of the square. It's 9 feet wide and 90 feet high, which is pretty tall and very thin. I'm trying to imagine it. The nearest thing I can come to, and it's nowhere like this, if you go to Dublin these days, if you go to O'Connell Street, there is a, I wouldn't call it a statue, I suppose it is, that is very narrow and very tall. It's like a big needle. If you get lost, it's great because you can see the top sticking over the buildings and you know that's where you're making for. How high it is, I don't know. But anyway, this statue, this idol, 9 feet wide, 90 feet high. So I suppose you could see it wherever you were. And he says, when the band plays, on pain of death, everyone must bow down. I'm not quite sure where Daniel was at this point, but obviously he must have been off somewhere else because we don't read about him. But these three young men refuse to bow down. And they go. Someone goes and tells on them, of course. You know those three young men? They're not bowing down to your statue. And King Nebuchadnezzar gets really cross, and he sends for them, and he says, you've got to bow down to my statue or else. Bit of a bully boy, wasn't he? Now, if you don't bow down to my statue, you're going to be thrown in the fiery furnace. And very politely, with great courage and with great dignity, the three of them refuse to bow. They don't make a big fuss. They don't say, you're really wrong to do this, king, and you shouldn't be doing it. They say, we will not bow down. We believe that God can rescue us. But even if he does not, we will still obey him, not you. They state these things. It doesn't say this in my version, but in another version it says, our God whom we serve is able. What about us this morning? Is God our God? Is God my God? Is he your God? Could we all stand up this morning and say, my God, our God that we believe in, that we trust in? Because that's where it begins, isn't it? That we need to put our trust in God, in our Saviour, the Lord Jesus, who we've been singing about, the one who died for us that we might be forgiven, the one who took our place, the one who took the fall and thought about us. Is he our God? Is he my God? Yes, he is. Is he your God? I hope so. I hope you put your trust in him for this life and the life to come. Our God, they say, whom we serve. Yes, they were serving the king, but above all, they serve God. Are we serving God with our lives? In the little things and the big things that we do. Our God whom we serve, they said, is able. We don't believe in a God, do we, who is unable, who is not powerful. We believe he is omnipotent. He is all powerful. He is able. If you look through the Bible, There are many verses where it says, our God is able to. We have a God who is powerful, who is great. But he is also the one who is sovereign. They said, we believe God can rescue us. But even if he doesn't, we will still carry on serving him. Even if it means the fiery furnace. And so the three men are bound and thrown into this fiery furnace. The furnace is so hot that the people who throw them in are killed before anything else happens. And in they go. And the king comes to see what's happening. And as he looks in, he's a bit confused. He's sort of counting. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. One, he could count, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4. How many people did we throw in that fire, he says. Your Majesty, we threw in 3. Well, I think I can see 4. Let's have another count. 1, 2, 3. Yeah, there's definitely 4 in there. Let's get them out. Not quite sure how you open a fiery furnace, but they open the door up. And out step, 1, 2, 3. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They don't smell of fire. Their clothes aren't singed. There's not a burn on them, a scratch on them. They come out in one piece. Having known the presence of God with them, walking in the flames. Wow. What a wonderful story, we say. Isn't that amazing? God was with them through the flames and they were rescued. So that goes to show us, doesn't it, that if we have faith in God, everything would be okay. Nothing bad will ever happen to us and our prayers will be answered and life will be jolly and great and amazing. What a wonderful story. Is that what that story teaches us? Our experiences, but more importantly, our reading of the Bible show us, don't they, that people of faith don't always receive what they desire or escape from danger and persecution. If we believe that, and there are some people who teach it, I'm afraid, we dishonour every person who has ever lived a life of suffering or given their life for God. We will dishonour all those who, even in the past few weeks, when asked, will you renounce Jesus, have said no and lost their lives straight away. There was no guardian angel for them. God in his sovereignty, that we often don't understand, decided to honour their faith by taking them straight home to heaven. Let's turn over to Hebrews 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11 is a chapter, in my Bible here it's called Faith in Action. When I was growing up, we often used to call it the roll call of faith. And it begins by telling us that faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we don't see. And it's what people of old were commended for, what they were congratulated for, their faith. And if you read through this chapter, which we haven't got time, it's an amazing chapter to read. We're told about people who have put their faith and their trust in God, believing that God exists, believing that God made the world, believing that God called them to do something for him, to go somewhere for him, and to trust in him even when the situation seemed impossible. We read of Abel, who had faith. What happened to Abel? Did a guardian angel come along and protect him when Cain hit him on the head with a lump of rock? No. But his life speaks to us still. We read about Enoch, who pleased God so much that he was taken straight to heaven without dying. We read of Noah, who had never seen rain, yet built an ark because it was told a flood was coming. That's trust, isn't it? We read about Abraham, who left his country and his family to find a new country where he never dwelt permanently. A lot of these people were living by faith when they died. They only received part of the promise, but they still looked ahead to heaven. Abraham was willing to sacrifice his only son, his long-awaited son. Joseph, Moses, the walls of Jericho, Rahab, who was obedient and hung her piece of red cord out of the window. And when the city was falling around her, stayed inside with her family so that she would be safe. I think I might have been tempted to run out the back door before the walls were crashing down around me, but she stayed in. She believed what God said. And then it talks about people who shut the mouths of lions, Daniel, escaped the edge of the sword, quenched the fury of the flames, were powerful in battle and beat all their enemies, people who came back to life again. Oh, isn't it wonderful what faith can do? Yes, it is. But then all of a sudden there's this back to reality. Some people who had faith were tortured. Some people who had faith were jeered at and flogged. Some people who had faith were put in chains and in prison. Some people who had faith were stoned or sawn in half, killed by the sword, wandering around destitute. And the Bible says the world was not worthy of these people. The Bible does not say these people suffered like this because they didn't have enough faith. The people suffered because of their faith. Some stories of faith have positive results, don't they? But some died without receiving the full results of God's promise. Some died and came back to life, but people of equal faith were tortured, flogged, rejected, mocked, and killed. All were commended for their faith, even those who on a human level got the wrong answer. What can we learn about faith from this wonderful story in the Old Testament and this passage in Hebrews? I love this quote. Faith enables us to see things others can't see and do things others can't do. Faith enables us to see things others can't see. We see that we've got a future and a hope. We see that Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We see that even though this world seems to be falling apart, and you've only got to turn on the news and you want to turn it back off again because it's so depressing and so worrying. We see Jesus. We see Jesus in charge, even though it doesn't look like it at the moment. We see that there is a future and a hope, both in this world and the next, for all those who put their trust in Jesus. We see things that some people just can't see. We can do things that other people can't do. I could never do that. Yes, you can. When we put our trust in Jesus, we can do things that other people can't do. You know, sometimes people say, how would we react if we were being persecuted? I don't know. I would like to think and believe that with hope and prayer and trust, I would stand the test. Don't you? I don't know. You know, I look at things that are happening in the world, I could never do that. But if God called me to do it and gave me the power to do it, then I could do it. faith enables us to see things other people can't see and do things that other people can't do. Faith enables us to believe that God will always keep his promises, whether it's now or later on, now or even in eternity. Faith enables us to believe that God is with us in the good and in the bad. You know, just as God was with Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego in the fiery furnace, just as he was with Daniel in the lion's den, he was with those Christians in the Colosseum who had lions set on them, and those who were set on fire to be used as torches for the emperor's parties. Was God with one and not the other? No, he was with them all, in the good and the bad. Faith enabled us to be obedient to God's word, in spite of the circumstances and even the consequences. Faith enables us to follow the example of others who lived and died in that same faith. We only have to read some of the stories in the New Testament. John the Baptist loses his head on the whim of a vain and stupid woman. James is executed. But what happens the next day? Peter is set free, even though the church weren't particularly brilliant at praying. James is executed. The church is praying that Peter might just be set free. And when he's set free and knocks on the door, they say, that can't be true. That can't be true. So their faith wasn't exactly brilliant, was it? But God rescued him. Later on, he died. Stephen, like Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, had the company of Jesus as he was stoned to death. He looked up into heaven and said, Jesus is with me. Faith enables us to follow the example of Jesus, who was willing to trust himself to the one who could have saved him, but asked him to go to death on a cross instead. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 7. These are amazing words, I always find when I read them. During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. That's incredible, isn't it? When Jesus was on earth, he prayed to his Father in heaven with fervent cries and with tears, knowing that his Father could save him from death. And he was heard. Didn't say God didn't hear him, he was heard. Son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. Jesus knew that God the Father could rescue him from the cross. He could call 10,000 angels and be taken back to heaven in a cloud of glory. But he was willing to die. He was heard, but he died. When we face trouble, as we all do, what do we do? Do we turn to God? Do we believe that he can save? Do we pray? No. I've got here three big yes, yes, yeses and a big red star. Of course we do. Do we believe in miracles? Yes, of course we do. Do we believe in prayer, that God answers prayer? Yes, of course we do. Do we believe that God loves and cares for us? We do. Do we believe that God is sovereign and has the right sometimes not to actually do what we might ask him to do? Do we believe that nothing, not even suffering or death, can separate us from him? See, we have trusted him for our eternal salvation? I hope we have. Have we trusted him for our eternal salvation? You know, you can't exactly say eternity is a long time, because it's not, but you know what I mean. We need to be ready for eternity. We need to be sure that we've got a home in heaven, and we trust ourselves to Jesus. But we need to keep on trusting ourselves to him every day of our lives, through the good and the bad, through the sad and the happy, through the things that confuse us, through the things that we don't understand, through the prayers that we've answered, and it seems that everything just goes right, and the prayers that we've said again and again and again, and we just don't understand why things don't happen the way that we would prefer. Our God is able to save, to rescue, to help, and to see us through. We have to decide that whatever happens, we will carry on trusting. I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. He will never leave us or forsake us. Nothing can separate us from his love. And on those days when he rescues us, we rejoice. And on those days when it just sort of seems that nothing is happening, we keep on rejoicing. We keep on trusting. You know, because I'm out preaching quite a lot, I end up doing a lot of praying in churches. And sometimes as I'm praying, I'm thinking, but I prayed about this last week. You know, this world is in a terrible state, isn't it? And who knows what we may have to face. And every week I say, you know, please make the world a better place and bring peace and happiness and joy and help people. And I said that last week. And things seem to have got worse this week. But I still need to keep on trusting that God is hearing our prayers. Maybe on a personal level, some of you are praying for all sorts of things. I've been praying for this for so long and nothing is happening. It's not because you haven't got enough faith. It's because God is working his purposes out. But we can be sure that he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. And that we will know his presence in the good times and the bad. And that's what this song is about. We thank you that we can trust you. We can trust you for our soul salvation. We can trust you for our lives here on earth. Help us in the good times and the difficult times to see things that others can't see and do things that others can't do, because we believe your promise that you will never leave us or forsake us, that your grace is sufficient, and that one day we will be with you forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.